they're conditions that are going to lead up to right here, to when the Great Tribulation is going to begin. What chapter is the millennium? What chapter? 20. Chapter 20. 21 and 22 is eternity. In chapter 20 we have millennium and great white throne. And I'm just talking about things that people say isn't in the Bible. Like Antichrist. So now we got that down. Armageddon. We got that down. Now, is 1,000 years mentioned? Look with me at 20. Let's look at chapter 20. Is it mentioned? And we'll have to discuss what 1,000 years is, but is that concept even mentioned? All right, look with me at verse 4. In chapter 20, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part of the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but that they are the priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. So is it mentioned? Yes. There you have it. I'm going to close with this. I was driving one day and listening to radio, and I had a ball with this old guy. I could tell he was an old preacher. He was good. And what he said was, he was ranting and raving, and he said, people, I hear people all the time saying God's in control. People, don't blame God for this world. It's a mess. He just said, if God's in control, he's doing a poor job. He is doing a poor job, people. This God isn't in control of this world. This is Satan's head. He just went on. And he liked to just rub it in. God's not in control. You're blaming God for all this nonsense going on in the world. God's better than that. So, I want to close this segment of our study. When does God take back control of the earth? Let me get it to you. Revelation chapter 11. Look with me at Revelation chapter 11. And if you're with me, Revelation chapter 11 is the third woe, seventh trumpet, two witnesses. That's what's going on. But let's just read in closing tonight. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, 15, and we'll just read through 17. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, who art and who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. So God will take control of the earth at the end of the tribulation, and the end of Daniel's 70th week, in that sense, and then God's in control, and that's what we call a millennium. So when we talk about God being in control, people, God's in control of your life. God's in control of what happens with you. But as far as in the concept of the world, this is Satan's kingdom of darkness. This is Satan's world. He is the ruler of this world right now. Now, he can't do anything without God's permission, like Job. He had to get permission from God, from Job, Peter, even you. But this is his domain. Don't blame God for everything that's going on. Because I like the way the preacher said it. If this God's in control, he's doing a very poor job. And something's wrong. But you and I know. And what we mean, we talk about our God's in control, but I just thought we'd end the night that kind of, well, when did he take control? And that brought me here, so this is what I want to close with tonight. So we'll begin next week in the third section of our study. Let's close in a word of prayer. First of all, excuse me, any questions that we didn't cover? Anything you want to know about Revelation, just on a big, broad scope of things that we haven't answered. Okay, and we're ready for verse by verse. Let's study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, Father, there's great peace in our soul in knowing that, in the true sense of our own lives, you are in control. In control of our lives. And if we walk, Heavenly Father, by faith in your Spirit, we'll walk under your supervision. Father, we just thank you for the time we've been able to spend up to now in this book, just kind of grasping the whole flow of what you're doing, because it is indeed the whole flow of the Bible. Father, we thank you for letting us know things that are going to happen. It puts our soul at ease about that. Therefore, there's no stress, there's no anxiety, there's no depression, because we know how it's going to end. Father, we thank you for our daily lives. We thank you for our husbands and our wives and our children. We thank you for the circumstances in our lives, the good and the bad and all these things. Thank you for the journey that we're in. We thank you for our friends. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've saved us and you've given us a time in history. And that you've opened our eyes to things that the greatest minds like Aristotle never even began to grasp. The great minds like Socrates could never understand. And you've given it to us. You've shown us. So that we are even greater thinkers than they even thought they could ever be. What an awesome God you are. We praise you, Father. We pray now that we'll just let these things seep into our soul and let the Spirit bring them to our mind that they may influence us each day. Our inner relationship with one another.